absolutely from top to bottom. But it's a great change. It really
Amen.
Is. But I think, you know, as we progress as Christians, we mature. We become more like Him. That's the way it goes. That's the way you know you're growing. You know, when you're a part of a church, there should be that in you that is growing spiritually.
Right.
And part of that is that you're being challenged all the time. You know, that becoming what God wants you to become and getting involved in His program, getting involved in what God wants us to do. And we just got to get lost in that. That we no longer live for ourselves. I mean, the end of that is that we no longer live for what we want. We're living now for what He wants. Isn't that right? But that doesn't happen in the beginning. So, I mean, maybe some can, I know some mature quicker than others, and they can come to that in a quicker way because they just kind of abandon what they want and they just give it all to the Lord. And that's where I believe we see the greatest part of the ministry done. It's not that you can't minister in the first day you're saved. That doesn't mean that, but I'm just saying the greater potential is in the when you mature and you get. But I think the mindset is that we're always asking God to step into our situation and help us. I mean, all these requests and everything tonight, we're asking God to step into our situation and help us. The family members, the families, and He wants to do that. But you can mark this down. It's just the way that it is. God's going to turn around and He's going to ask you to step into His plan.
Amen.
And ask you to do things for Him. And we have to be willing. There's give and take here with the Lord.
Amen.
We can't just say, Lord, just give, give, give. And we're not willing to turn around and reciprocate that to some degree. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood here. We can never repay Him. Don't ever get in your mind that you'll ever be able to repay Him. Now or throughout eternity. We'll never, ever be able to repay for what He did for us. But I think the mindset is that it's what Paul said in Romans 12. The least I can do is to give Him my life and just let Him use me for His glory. And Paul talked a lot about yielding your body and yielding your life to let Him do that. And it doesn't mean that you really necessarily change careers or you change any of that other than we just let God come into those situations and work through us because that's really what He wants to do. I don't know the mindset of people that get saved and then want to just work with only Christians. You know, I just don't know that that's really what Christ wants all the time. Because we're the light of the world. We have to be out there in the darkness. People have to see the contrast in our life, in their life. So it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with gathering as Christians, but to work with Christians, stay with Christians all the time, it becomes like a commune. And that's not the way God called us to live. Amen.
Right.
We're to be out there. How many know He did not just gather His people and just stick with one?
Amen.
He went out everywhere. And I think that that's our mindset. And so when we talk about getting your feet wet, of course, I just kind of took that from two different scriptures about Matthew 14:29, about when Peter stepped out of the boat. And then I talked about it in Joshua 3:13, when God told Joshua to take him into the promised land, he had to cross the Jordan River. And basically, he did to Jordan what he did to the Red Sea. He just split it for them. But they had to put their feet in the water. In other words, that's spiritually speaking, they had to put their foot first. God's just not going to stand on the bank and just open it up. There's a lot of times we have to do something.
Amen.
That initiates our faith and proves that we believe what God says. Amen.
Yes.
I also brought up about James 4:8, about draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. But that's only a part of that verse. If you just go on down and read James 4:8, it talks about purify your hands, purify your hearts, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. And He's talking about that through repentance, through turning away from things, that's the way we draw near to God. When God sees in us that we no longer want to participate in the things of the world, then what that does, that's an action that God says, I'm going to draw near to Him. So you can understand why when God comes into a church, it's because He sees first that those people are turning away. They don't live the same job. Now you may work at the same job, and I know like Betty said with ones, and I used to work secular work and around cussers and all of that all the time. And it does grate upon you. Lot even said in Peter that the conversation in Sodom, that's the spirit. That's why you cannot stay around that all the time. It vexes, which means it kind of puts a burden on you that you get tired of hearing it. Amen?
Amen?
And I mean, thank God for that. It's not that we're better than those people. It's just that now we're filled with the Holy Spirit and it just grieves Him.
Yeah.
Amen? Because words are very powerful. They're containers. and they carry a lot. But when God sees that action in us, like, you know, I mentioned last Sunday when he says, you won't say something because simply because you know it is not the right thing and it doesn't honor him. When he sees that, God steps closer. When he sees a reaction to something and you say, you know what, I should react. My old reaction would be this way, but I'm not going to do it now that way. I'm just going to let it go. When God sees that, see what I'm saying? We're purified and we're becoming more like him. I know the reaction to something is very critical to God. And how, that's why a lot of times he puts us in places to see what our reaction will be. You'll never find out when everything's smooth sailing. It's when things go wrong. And that's where we're going to go. And I think one of the things that we want to talk about tonight is that what pushed Peter out of that boat? What was pushing him? What was happening in the natural realm that pushed him out of the boat? The storm. The storm was pushing him. A crisis. And a lot of times that is what happens with us to get us into another place is the storm. The crisis. Things we don't understand. Things we find ourselves in all of a sudden. And it, we have to do what he did to, for his survival. He believed he was safer out there with the Lord than he was in that boat with his disciples. And I believe that's exactly what happens with us with storms and crises and things and tests that we go through is that we don't understand the storm. But how do you know they were in the will of God? They were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. Who sent them on that body of water? He said, and he does that. He does that not to hurt us, but he does it to get us to take a step in a new area, a new faith, a new power. And you'll never know it unless that happens. That's just the way, you know, and God starts off little with little directions, and then he can work up to bigger directions. But we have to be faithful in the little things, amen? But Peter found a new thing, and I don't know if I mentioned it Sunday, but how many believe he'll never forget that step off that boat? Amen. When you run into him in heaven, you ask him, do you remember when you stepped off the boat? I guarantee you'll say, oh yeah, I remember that very well. Very well. Because those things really happen to people. And he's there in heaven today. And those were his experiences, but we can learn from them because of that. And that's why I don't know exactly all the things that God is going to ask you to take a step in. You know, but right now what the Lord is kind of leading us to do through this video and through this message, and it's just kind of resonating, is take a step towards evangelism. Take a step towards praying for people. And evangelism, when I say evangelism, it encompasses not only people, leading people to the Lord, but praying for people to be healed. Because many times people are, that's one way God uses to bring people to him is through healings, right? I mean, they're just miracles and signs of what. But to actually let God use us is a very powerful thing. And so we wanted to talk tonight about how important that is that we understand some of the storms and how it moves us in different places and how God puts us in places. How many have ever found yourself in a place you knew God had led you there, and then all of a sudden, there's a storm, a real difficult storm. And you thought, man, what am I going to do? You know, there's a storm by the name of Euroclydon. It's in the book of Acts. I believe that's the way you pronounce it, Euroclydon or Euroclydon. But the Greek word says Euroclydon is basically like a hurricane. It blows from every side. And that's the kind of storms we tend to get into. It's not just one thing. It's a lot of things coming against us. You can be hit from different directions. You can be hit spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, relationally, in a family situation. Remember, things in your family can start breaking down, and then you get sick, and then all these things just begin to break out. And it's not that God has abandoned us, but it is a time for us to take a step into a different area that we have to trust and believe God. I may agree with that. And they're learning experiences. They're things that help us to understand that we want to get involved in what God is doing and not stand back and shy away and feel fear. We know that's not the right response. If we feel fear. Now, you may feel fear, but you're going to have to deal with it. It's a spirit that is trying to hinder you from doing what God asks you to do. How many know when God sets his purpose for your life, sets his will for your life, there's going to be some very difficult places that you're going to have to walk with God through this. Amen. And the key is that you walk with God. He'll never abandon you. Amen. Whether you feel him or don't, or see him or don't. I mean, no, he's there with us. Amen. But at the same time, it's going to require some things that we don't feel like we have. And that can be scary when we go through that. We were talking about some of the storms that have hit our lives since we've been married. Some big storms to us. Things that threaten the lives of our family. And those are pretty big storms and things that can happen and then the emotions of it and everything. But how God sees us through that and how that we learn through that and that we can grow through that and mature through that. But I think one of the mindsets is that, Lord, I want to be involved in what you're doing on the earth. I want to get involved with that. I don't want it just to be about me. Us four, no more. It's got to be that. Because I feel like that the Lord is going to use Calvary to be like it should be, a church, which is it's like a lighthouse. It's going to be a place people can come and find the help that they need. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned Sunday that one of the ways God completes our happiness is that we help others find their happiness. Wow. And I mean, that's real understandable. Because I don't know how you came to the Lord, but somebody helped you get to the Lord. Amen. Somebody preached the gospel. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody witnessed to you. There was a church that was open for you to find the gospel. Somebody was there. And that's why I brought up about the man that was carried by four men before the Lord. I mean, these were incredibly dedicated friends. I mean, because you have to understand, when he got to the house with him, there was such a crowd. And what did they do? Well, we'll just have to wait maybe to the next service. Or what did they do?
Upstairs.
With their cot on the roof. Would you say that's pretty dedicated? I'm just saying that shows a lot of, we're not going home without this. I'm just going to do, we've got to get to him. And I think that kind of diligence, sometimes I know the Lord sees that. Can you imagine when they're sitting down and he's talking? You know, it'd make a great drama. You know, they're standing and he's teaching and all of a sudden there's little pieces of stuff start dropping. And you look up and here they come. And four of them, and they drop a cot right now in front of him. I mean, you just have to visualize that this was not just a myth. This was an actual thing that happened. But these friends knew if they could get their friend to Christ, his life would forever be changed. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And see, that's what happens. We know that if people can ever get to Christ, and I mean really experience Christ, their life will never be the same. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you want to say something?
I want to ask a question to you tonight. When the six members of our congregation were up here on Sunday morning and they were sharing about what the Lord had led them to do, about going over to the hospital and how that they were given a lot of favor, you know, and I will tell you from experience, hospitals are not just, you can just walk in these days. That's a fact. Jay and I, at almost every hospital we go in now, requires you to stop. You've got to go through, you know, identification, take a picture, get it, all this kind of stuff. And they may have done that. But a lot of times they'll even ask you, what room are you going to? And so, my question to you tonight is this. When they were sharing about what they did, and certainly they made it abundantly clear, they did what they did because they were led of the Lord to do it. Then I want to know what you felt when they were talking about that. I want to know what reaction you had when you heard their testimony. Anybody? Leanne, talk loud.
I was just very excited. Mm-hmm. Excited and charged and inspired because I also believe the Word so strongly. You know, anytime the opportunity presents itself, I do pray for my patients. And to hear their boldness and just the way that they step out, you know, just reminded me of my youth.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was like that, you know, when I worked at Red Lobster, and it's been a while for me, but that is my heart. That is where I love to be. I love to be led of the Lord. I love to be used of the Lord. And to see those young people stepping out with such boldness just electrified my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way I can say it.
Sure.
I just felt very electrified and inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Dorothy?
I got into the service a little bit late, but I want to comment about Leanne. That's the way she was when the Lord first gave her life to the Lord.
Absolutely.
She, we were in Kerrville at, Fall Connection that year, and there was a lady and her daughter in this seat not too far from us, and we could tell that they were very disturbed, actually. They got up to walk out, we got up to walk out, and she met them in the parking lot and did the same thing that these young people were doing. She prayed with them, and they were glad that she had even asked if I could pray.
Absolutely.
And anybody else, David?
I was thinking the whole time how it would be so appropriate for our whole church to do this, and what changes can happen if we had that kind of boldness and that kind of determination. I sense a lot of determination on their part, and we're going to get this done, you know, somehow, and God is going to find a way to let us do it.
Did anybody get the feeling of, did you hear some of it resonating in your own spirit? Just do it. Just do it. I appreciate what Matt said. Matt said when he saw Father of Lights and how that the people in that video, how they just reach out and show the love of God to people. He said he afterwards, he sat there and he thought, I've been overthinking this whole process. Anybody grab that? And I did. I was like, right on. That is exactly.
What does that mean, though?
What does it mean to overthink it?
What does he mean?
What do we do?
It seems harder than it really is.
Right.
It is. God has given us all the tools. We have the power to do it. And I just, you overthink it sometimes, like, oh, I don't want to mess up, or I may fail. And that sometimes has power over us to stop us in our tracks.
Yeah,
how many feel qualified that you can minister the love of God? I mean, just think about that. You just want to minister the love of God to people first. You know, they've always said, if you want to win Muslims, you've got to be their friend first. I mean, you cannot go at them through doctrine in the beginning. You've got to love them. Let them see the love of God in us. And I think a lot of times that is exactly the compassion. Because when you see Christ, then you've always got to follow his example. He really showed a lot of the love of God to these people. Number one, just by showing up where they were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he went to them. And a lot of times when people, you know, when we were laying there one night and watching the 11 o'clock news and saw that one boy in Texas Children that had that horrible disease, and I just said, you know, I'm going to go see him. And went up there, and just a long story short, I met his mother, prayed for him. And over time, he got well. He was healed of what did he have?
He had a very severe form of anemia. It was a blood disorder that he required like a bone marrow. And that was the reason he was on the news. They were needing people to come in and do a transplant. And they had no matches. And when Jay went in and prayed for him, that very like next day, they got a match. They did some stuff on him. And this was a very impoverished family, and we were able to just minister to their physical needs. The mom was like staying in her car when she wasn't in the room with the little boy. And we were able to take groceries from the church, took groceries up to where they lived in Porter and ministered to them. But the miracle of it is the doctor didn't offer any hope to this little boy. But after prayer and after the treatment, you know, and people say, well, maybe it was the treatment, maybe it wasn't God. Let me tell you something. If they get healed, it was God.
That's right.
It was God. Get it in your head. Doctors practice medicine. They have a lot of techniques. We appreciate it. Let them do everything they can. That's what the doctors, the night they told us that our daughter was going to die, I listened to their spiel. I listened to all the things that was wrong. Every major organ of her body was shutting down and failing. They gave her hours and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just listening. I'm stunned, but I'm listening. And when they finished, I just looked at them and I said, I just want to tell you guys, thank you. There's three of them. Thank you so much for going to school. And they were like, I said, thank you for the time you spent learning everything that you know. Thank you for committing this answering the call to be a doctor. Because I think it's a calling. I think it's really that. I said, I so appreciate everything you're trying to do. But let me just explain something to you. You guys practice medicine. And I appreciate it, but God's the healer. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, my daughter's not going to die. Go in there and do everything you can that you know to do. Go ahead. Appreciate it. Thank you. But at the end of the day, God is the healer. And my daughter's not going to die. And they went like, okay, whatever. You know. They didn't get it. I mean, they were looking at me like nobody probably never thanked them for being a doctor. And I admit that I was all over the place emotionally whenever I was talking to them. But I wanted them to know we knew where our faith was in. It wasn't just in them. I appreciate it. Never discredit it. I think that people say, well, don't, you know, I don't think you ought to check a doctor or this. I do. Let the doctors do what they can, but at the end of the day, know that God is the healer. He's the healer.
That's right.
Everybody else is just practicing something.
Uh-huh.
So, everything else is a practice. There, God is the healer. Vicki and then Richard.
Well, you were talking about Father and Lights after that meeting, like everybody's saying, you still this. What you were talking about, sometimes we take God's word and we make it so complicated when it's so simplistic.
Yeah.
You just take it at the value that it's there. You know what God says it is, it is.
Right.
You know, on this past week, Sherry's sister was in the hospital down in Galveston. And God sent me down there on Friday. I think that was Friday. I thought it was Thursday, but it was Friday to pray with her. But through that whole thing, the doors that God opened, the people that I met in the elevator, and the men and women that were outside waiting on their spouses or their family, the way that He just opened the door for me to just love on them was just like an awe thing, you know?
Right.
So it was just, I'm excited. I'm excited about what He's doing.
Yeah. Richard?
I was going to struck me the most about the entire story was, and this goes along with what Matt said about overthinking things. You know, God tells us to have faith like a child.
Yeah.
And you could really see that in Matt, because his only concern that whole thing was, well, gosh, we're going to get it all the healing done before I even show up. Just a complete absence of anything but faith and conviction that we're doing this the right way. You know, he said he was stuck in traffic. You know, and I've been in situations, not like that, but situations where I'm pumped up to go do something, and then for whatever reason you get delayed, and that allows you to have time to think about it and overthink it and start to
talk
let the enemy work. Either talk yourself out or let the enemy start doing his work to put those doubts in there. And that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, Matt was so pumped up and so believing. Well, everyone in that car was, I'm sure, that was his concern. Like, oh man, I'm going to miss the good stuff.
Right.
And that was the greatest part for me.
I think, too, there's that sense of challenging themselves. Because I'm sitting here thinking that the three guys are trying to get there, and they're not going to let the girl show them up. Go ahead, Don.
I was just going to say, the things they were saying, what they were showing, and I'm not saying it wasn't awesome that they were doing that, but that's exactly, you know, we have a misunderstanding, a misconception of what being a Christian is. You read the Bible, and every time you read it, there's nothing where anyone was just sitting there going in once a week. And I'm not knocking anybody either. I'm just saying, you know, there is a time where you're supposed to be being trained up and understanding and brought to that comprehension, but there's a time also when every one of us is supposed to be operating like that. I'm not saying you're supposed to necessarily be going to the hospital, but like you talked about, you're walking to the grocery store,
right,
and there's someone that is in a wheelchair.
Right.
God is the healer.
Right.
It's not a matter of, well, I wonder if He wants me to help that particular individual. God didn't, everything you read about Him, He stopped, you know, not just the Lord, but I mean the apostles, you know, He even said we'll do greater things than even He did. Those are His words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
let me get Kamala and then I'll get you, Sylvia.
I'm just so thankful and proud of watching their growth.
Yeah.
And their obedience and saying yes. And proud that they got my daughter's not all right there. But I was telling Julie, because they were going again, I think it was Monday, they were going. I said, the hospital's going to get so mad at y'all. And at the same time, both Julie and I said, yeah, because they won't have any clients anymore.
Yeah.
So,
they went again last night, actually. Earlier in the day, I don't see Danielle here tonight, but Danielle had, let me tell you what struck Danielle about what they said. She recognized that they needed an interpreter, because, you know, there was that language barrier they talked about. So Danielle called me, she called me Monday, and I didn't get back to her. I called her yesterday morning early. She said, I was just calling to tell you that if they go again, would you please tell them, I'd like to go with them, I can interpret. So it was like I told Julie about that. I said, she can interpret for you. So she said, well, give me her number, because we decided to go tonight. So they went again last night. Danielle went, interpreted. They said it was just even more powerful. Danielle was a huge help, and that they ministered with this woman who has liver cancer. And immediately, this woman felt strength. And they went to minister to another family member of a co-worker of Johannes. And so they went and ministered to it, and before they could even get home, the woman they had prayed for, and they prayed for others, but this particular woman they went specifically to pray for, had already called sister and said, ever since they prayed for me, I feel strength. I feel so like the strength of God has just come in me, you know. And one thing Julie said is that at every single person they prayed for, Monday when they went and last night, every single person, they said it's the most incredible thing. But when they begin to pray, the people begin to weep. Mm-hmm. They just begin to cry. And I believe that it's just people that are responding to that love. You can resist a lot of things, but when you really encounter real love,
yes,
it will melt your heart. If you have a heart, it will melt your heart. So, I want us to go back and look at the scripture that Jay brought out Sunday. Turn to Matthew 14, and I want to read just a few scriptures here. Remember, Jesus has sent them into the boat and tells them to go to the other side. And it says immediately that the ship entered into this horrible storm. In Matthew 14 and 25, it says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. The storm was so intense, they couldn't tell it was him. That's how bad a storm it was. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, Jesus said to Peter, he said, come. That is the most simple command, one of the most simple commands that God ever gave to anybody. He just said, come. Just come. And he did, I want you to see something here. Peter was presumptuous. We all know that. Peter was a guy that did things and thought later. Okay? He would step out and do something, or he would say something, and then later he would think about what he said. But this time, he wasn't. He was not presumptuous. He went out not, and this is why we must go out. He went out on the command and the word of the Lord. Now, you say, well, I feel safe then because the Lord hadn't told me to go do anything. You have been listening. Okay?
That's right.
You're not listening because he doesn't need to give you another word. He's already given you a word in the book of Mark and several other places. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You don't need another word. What you need is a specific guidance about something. So he says to him, he says, come. And it says, and Peter answered him, verse number 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, or it stopped. The storm stopped. Now, verse 33 is a very interesting verse. It says, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And verse 34 says, "And when they were gone over, they came to the land of the Gennesaret." Now, stop here just a minute. This is just my personal opinion of what happened. I don't think I'm adding anything to the scripture here. I think this is just true. I see this whole thing, and you need to just play it all out in your head. Peter gets out of the ship. He walks on the water. I mean, just imagine what that must be like right there. And so many people have criticized Peter because, okay, he gets out there and he lost focus. When God sends you into something, stick with what he tells you. Don't start looking around. Don't start overanalyzing. Don't overthink it. Just stick to what he tells you to do. If he tells you to go to a lady at a Christian concert and tell her that I love her, just do that. Just do that. And then if there's another step, he'll give you the next step. But don't go beyond what he's been telling you to do. So Peter he said, "Come to me." Peter got out and he did that. But he got distracted by all the stuff. Let me tell you something. Anytime you do something for God and it's putting you on the edge, always know there's always going to be stuff. There's always going to be stuff that distracts. There's always going to be stuff that gives you a reason to take your eyes off of the main event. And so in the midst of that, he sinks. He cries out to the Lord. The Lord says, "Save me." Another very short prayer in the Bible. "Save me." And then Jesus reaches down and brings him up, and they get into the ship. Now, and then it says the wind ceases. This is just my thought on this. I'm sitting here thinking, okay. So they get back into the boat. And the other disciples are just sitting there. And they realize, I could have done that. I could have done that too. But I didn't get out of the boat. And I have this personal, I don't know if it's a fear or just something that I am just conscious of. I don't want to be somebody that stays in the boat. And I don't want to be a person that says, I would have, should have, could have. And I say that to us as a congregation. For whatever cause and whatever purpose, and I know part of it, but I don't know all of it. I don't know if anybody does. Even Pastor and Jay. I don't know if even he knows. I don't know exactly where this boat is all going here in this church and what's happening. But I know this. God has got us in a season of stretching us. He's in a season of saying, come. Get out of that comfortable place that you think is safe. Get out of the safety of what you think is and come to me and do that thing. And live our lives. Quit living our lives in the comfort zone. Get out and step out into that area that's real edgy. The one thing I love about this generation of young people, they love their whole thing. They're crazy for one thing. But they love the edge of everything. I don't care if it's extreme sports, extreme whatever, extreme risk in the stock market, extreme inventions. They're just extreme. And if they don't take it to the... That's the reason they're called the X generation. X for extreme. They take everything right to the edge. And if it isn't crazier and bigger and higher and faster than anything anybody's done before, they're like, oh, you went out. And that whole spirit of things is not a bad thing when you translate it into the spiritual. Because I believe that God is calling his church and saying, be extreme. Just put yourself out there. What is it going to hurt? And in fact, that's what they were saying. Like, you think they were totally comfortable with what they did? No, but it was just like, we sit around going, oh, my life is just not, it just feels boring. I don't want to be a person that sat in the boat watching somebody else do it. Are you with me? I'm hoping I'm talking to people that are here going, Mitchin, I don't want to sit in the boat. I want to walk on the water. I don't want to sit back and say, and you know what? People that sit in the boat, all I'm saying is this. I think from the time the wind ceased and the storm stopped until they reached land, I think that was a quiet ride. I do. I think it was a quiet ride. I think the other disciples were sitting there thinking, I'm glad the storm is over, but I just wish when it was all going on, I had gotten out with Peter and just, I missed my opportunity to walk on water. And so that's what I feel like. I felt that Sunday morning. I'm like, man, I'm not so old that I forget what that feels like. And I'm not so old that I can't do this. Because I, you know, you know, sometimes old people say, oh, the thrill is gone, the thrill of everything, and all the thrills of my youth and all that kind of stuff. Are you kidding me? Come on. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking we're getting warmed up here. Amen. I'm thinking, God, push us out and go do something. It may be, you may say, I don't know if I could ever do a missions trip. You won't know till you do.
That's right.
Just go do it. I don't know if I can raise the funds that I need to go do something like that. Just put it before God. Mm-hmm. And if God's in it, he'll say, come. And if he says come, then he'll enable you to do it. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of things that God is calling. What Jay and I were talking about earlier, and he brought this out in the beginning. Sometimes we don't see the opportunity because we're so surrounded by the crisis. Mm-hmm. You can either look at the storm or you can look at the opportunity to do what Jesus is doing.
That's right.
And it's like we talked about it. And you've got to think. I want you to think. Make your mind really think about this. How many people in the scripture did that thing that was right on the edge that everybody else just sat back and watched? Let me give you an example and then you can go with it and just start thinking of different ones. Think of David when he's just a young kid and his father sends him down to check on his brothers and they're all in the battle and he gets down there and here's this giant. Now all of the army of Israel is cowering and they will not even venture out. They are sitting there. This giant comes out every day and threatens, I'm going to kill all of you. There's nothing you can do. Send out somebody to fight against me. Whoever wins, they're the winners. And everybody, and then you either will serve us or we'll serve you, depending on who wins. And David goes into that situation, and everybody else is feeling a crisis, and a crisis of fear, and a crisis of faith, and a crisis. And David is in there going, what do you get if you kill the giant? That's what he did. And that's what I'm saying. God, give us at Calvary Chapel that something on the inside of us that says, ah, let's rise up. Let's go get 5 stones. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. Some of you had awesome experiences in God. But don't let your most recent testimony be 10 years old. I want when we come in here on Sunday that we're fighting for the mic. You've got to hear what God used me to do. And all giving God all the glory. I was wondering Sunday morning, you know, they all kind of shared a little bit and all kind of said a little bit. And I was just wondering if they was going to turn into a mic fight. For everybody. Let me tell. Because when God uses you like that, it is a thrill, a thrill, a thrill. But I want every one of us. I want my Sunday, everybody to come in and say, man, I stepped out and did something. You know, it may not seem like a lot to you, but for me, it was just a lot. It was a whole lot. Are you with me? Not with me, and that's not really the right way to put it. Are you with what God is saying to us?
Yes.
God is saying, Calvary Chapel, here's your moment. Mm-hmm. Grab it. Seize it. Don't stand back. As much as I'm thrilled with everybody that was up there Sunday, and I got a thrill. Well, obviously, I mean, I got a thrill. Because I ran this. I haven't done that, but I ran around this church. I couldn't keep my seat Sunday morning. I couldn't. When Jay said, anybody else want to run? It was like, my name was on that. Didn't even know this fat girl could run that fast. Anyway, I put my shoes on. I wanted to run. I knew I'd save you. But I took my shoes off because I knew I couldn't run past in my shoes. It was just, I felt the thrill of it. But what I want us all to recognize, God wants to lay his hand on the whole church.
Yes.
This is not just a young person thing. This is not a middle-aged thing. It's not any one group, because every group in this church is being touched by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Our senior, our 55 and up adults, y'all are just blowing the doors off in the community, ministering in the nursing home, ministering in the apartment. Y'all are doing things that are not comfortable. There's people teaching a class that are like, I don't know if I can do that or not, but they're doing it. Mm-hmm. They're doing it. And I say, let's rise up. This is our moment. I feel it. This is our moment that God is going to say, I want to use you. Let me. And just watch what happens. I can't even imagine for a week. But in the midst of all that, I want you to understand something. You could be in the middle of a crisis. That was a crisis facing Goliath. Facing off with Goliath. That was a huge thing for the whole nation. But in the midst of the crisis, Daniel sees the opportunity. That's what we've got to do. So just because you're going through something, you're not exempt because you're going through something. I used to think I'd wait for optimum conditions in my life. Everything be peace and careful, calm and wonderful, and everything in order. And then I'd do something for God.
If you're waiting like that, I promise you, the devil will make sure everything stays stirred up around you. You'll never do anything for the Lord. You just got to reach out. Oh, man, I got to take something that this lady wrote here. Can I embarrass you a minute, Shelly? Okay. We have a meeting in the church right now. We have a pantry, a food pantry, and we help families, okay? And so we have been helping them. We did it at Christmas, and y'all just opened up your hearts, and we have stocked full pantry. Well, the pantry's empty. It's just almost bare bones. So we've been giving out the last of our food. And you may have gotten a text, hey, if you can pick up some stuff, please bring it. We still need that. So I sent out this text, and I sent it to Shelly. Shelly texts me back. Now, let me tell you what Shelly does. Shelly does announcing. Did I ever tell you this?
No.
Let me get this.
You know.
Shelly, she does announcing for the Women's Roller Derby League. And fair.
There's one in Deer Park. I do the one in Deer Park and then the one in Spring.
Okay. Deer Park. Women's Roller Derby. Okay. So she told us about this, and we were so excited. And she goes, look, they have this like brochure that they pass out to all the people that come to Women's Roller Derby. And she said, what would you think if we put in an ad about Calvary Chapel? Yeah, that'd be cool. She said, we'll do it. Look, her and her husband did it, so they put it in the brochure and everything. So, like, Calvary Chapel's on the map with the Roller Derby League, and I'm so happy about that. There's a reason the Bible says some from every tribe and nation will be there. Okay, so we welcome all. Anyway, and so when she got this text about the pantry, she texted me back and she said, I think I'm going to ask some of the teams if they want to have a food pantry drive for us. Guess what? Three teams have responded.
Wow.
They are going to do a food drive. Now, that doesn't exempt any of us from giving. But three teams are going to do a food drive for us. And we're going to send somebody that represents the church. And one of them falls on a weekend that the women's convention is going on. We're going to send somebody from the church, and I've already got it figured out. Whoever goes can say, hey, this is so cool. Rollers, meet the holy rollers, and we come together for the cause. Anyway, they're going to have a food drive. And they're going to bring him. And I'm sitting here going, God, you are incredible. Who'd have thunk it, right? Who'd have thought that God would just open this kind of a door? Simply because she's stepping out of faith. You don't know sometimes until you ask.
Well, there's more to the story.
What?
I said there's a little bit more to the story, and y'all know this too. Well, y'all know this because when we first sat down and talked to y'all, we talked about this. This is the area that I feel called to minister in. This is a very an area that is very heavy in the occult.
Right.
It's very heavy in the gay and lesbian community. And I have felt for a long time as a teenager, I felt called to minister to gay and lesbians. And that's a very hard thing. I grew up at a Baptist church that when I said that to the youth pastor, he turned whiter than a sheet. And his response was, okay, we'll pray about that. That's all he could do. He didn't even want me to bring my friends that were gay to church. And what better place, what better opportunity than this? And I've been praying for months, even before I started coming to Calvary. God, how am I going to do this? And this may be the door that opens up that between our church and the Derby world, because most of these women, you can't just ask them to go to church.
Yeah.
They've been rejected by Christians. They've every nasty, horrible thing you've ever heard. I've heard it all. And now, all of a sudden, because God's given me favor with these ladies, I've volunteered with them since the beginning, since Houston's roller derby team started. So I've been able to, just by helping them out, gain favor. And God's given me enough favor to open this door.
Yeah.
So what I want from y'all is to start praying
yes.
that God will open more doors.
Yes.
Amen.
Let's pray right now. And you said, which group would not be, should we cut off from the love of God? Which group?
None. Right.
None.
He didn't do that. And this is an incredible growing group of gay and lesbians. We know that. It's breaking out everywhere. People need help. I'm just going to put it that way. They need help. It's like now all of us need help. But thank God that He's calling people to minister to them.
That's right.
You know, you may not feel that strong, but she does.
Yes.
And I believe we want to help her fulfill what God is calling her to do.
Yes.
And we do know the Lord is reaching to that community.
Amen.
You may not be, but He is.
That's right.
He died for them just like He died for us.
That's right.
So that exclusive part we have to be careful of, okay? We just have to be real careful and not draw those lines. So let's take a moment. Let's pray for Shelley, and let's pray that this ministry, it will have, that God would just open supernatural doors for Shelley and others that may even feel called. That you hear this and you say, you know what, I feel that too. And if you do, maybe you want to talk to Shelley and get involved in this. But let's pray for that. Father, we thank you so much that you died for all people.
Yes.
No matter what their condition, no matter where they are, no matter what they're involved in, no matter what their lifestyle is right now. Lord, you died for them. You gave your life for them. You were not sent here to fight them. You did not come here to condemn them. You said that, Lord. Your word says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Lord, that's why Shelley is doing and fulfilling. And Lord, it's a responsibility, Lord, that you're giving her to share this burden. It's your burden, Lord, that you're putting in her heart. We know that. But we just pray that you'll give her great wisdom.
Yes.
You'll give her great boldness.
Yes.
Lord, you will anoint her when she talks to these precious ladies. Lord, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. Not only, Lord, let them feel your love, but Lord, your plan of saving them. Lord, they can come under conviction, Lord, which is so incredibly important. The Lord, like Nebbie said, when these kids went in and they prayed, that these people wept. There's times, Lord, there's a weeping come over somebody. They don't even understand why they're weeping. And I pray, Lord, you'll give Shelley the opportunity and raise up others out of this church, Lord, to support that. And Lord, bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and help them, Lord. We thank you. Lord, we bind the God of this world who would blind their minds. Lord, and believe that they're cut off from you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we just pray that, Lord, most of all, they'll experience your love, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, all the things, Lord, that will change their lives forever. And Lord, we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Let's just praise him tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunities, Father. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord, within the young people here and with Titus 2 ministry and the older people, the middle-aged people, Lord. You're just opening the doors, Lord. These are truly the last days. These are the days, Lord, of great opportunity. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, you're going to help us, Lord, to be effective as witnesses for you in these last days. You've done so much for each one of us, Lord, that we can share our testimony of your goodness to people around us. And Lord, I thank you for it. We may not know all the Bible. We may not understand all of it. But Lord, there's things we do know about you. We know you love us. We know you'll forgive us. And Lord, that's what most people need to hear, most of all. Lord, not about the end times, Lord, and not about certain things and doctrines, Lord, that are so hard and difficult to understand. But Lord, there's things that, Lord, we can tell them about how much you love them, Lord, and we can be confident in that truth. Because you love us, Lord, you will love them. And Lord, use us. And I just want to pray over you tonight today. Maybe you just take your hands and turn them upside down and say, Lord, use me. I yield my body to you tonight. And use me as an instrument, Lord, tomorrow, on my job, in my neighborhood, when I shop. Lord, wherever I go to shop for groceries and clothes and at the mall and wherever I go, Lord, when I sit down in a restaurant. Father, nothing is off limits to us, Lord. Lord, we're able, Lord. And when we walk in, the church walks in, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, there's people all around us that need to have a word from you. They need to be encouraged. Lord, they need to know, Lord, that someone cares about them, Lord. And I know that that's you, Father. And I thank you for that tonight, and I praise you for it tonight. Thank you, Lord, for granting us. I was just reading in Acts 4 where it says that they were in a very difficult place. And I'm not saying this is difficult, but you'd have to agree this is very challenging for all of us. But I will say this, that those early disciples, they prayed, Lord, grant your servants boldness. Boldness, enable us to be able to do what you've called us to do. And I want to pray that over you, that God would grant us the boldness. That we can serve him and be effective wherever we are. Lord, in the name of Jesus, grant us, your servants, your children, boldness, wisdom, Lord, to not be afraid, but Lord, to speak up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you for it today. I thank you, Lord, for your people here tonight, Lord. I believe, Lord, we all feel it deeply within us, Lord, that you are opening the doors in a special way evangelistically, Lord, for us. And Lord, we praise you for it tonight, and we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I want you to get at least three people upon your heart that you know do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. People in your family, on your job, three names. Which are the three names that come up in your spirit immediately? When I say three names in the name of Jesus. Let's take just a moment here and let's pray for their salvation. Let's pray in the name of Jesus that they'll come to a place. place where they'll surrender their life. They'll bow their knee and they'll confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, we pray for these three people right now that we're praying for very specifically. People that, Lord, we work with, people in our family, our friends, Lord, our neighbors, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for them right now. Lord, we care so much about where they're going to spend eternity. And Lord, we lift them up to you tonight and we thank you, Lord. We know that, Lord, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so critical. It said a man cannot be saved or a woman cannot be saved. A young person cannot be saved unless the Spirit of God draw them. And so, Holy Spirit, we depend upon you to do this work. That work that we cannot do, but Lord, there's work that we can do. That is, we can pray and we can witness. And Lord, use us, Lord, Holy Spirit, and we will work with you and allow you to work in us, Lord, for the salvation of others. Lord, before the time closes, Lord, there's going to be a day that, Lord, it will be all over with, Lord. And we have to understand that. And Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you've heard our prayer. We know that you hear this prayer. Lord, we're praying in your will, Lord. We know that you're not willing that one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, everyone we look at, everyone we see, Lord, Lord, your desire is for them to spend eternity with you. And Lord, we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just praise him tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, just praise him out loud for saving you. Thank God that you're saved tonight. Thank God your name is written in heaven. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Lord, we thank you tonight. We love you tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Invite someone to come and be part of the services. Every service, God is doing incredible, wonderful things. And so I encourage you just to be a part of it and let the Lord use you. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but I don't know if this has anything to do with Sunday. But I feel prompted of the Holy Spirit to tell you something. You need to be prepared. So you need to read the Word and read what the Word says about what I'm about to say. Mark this down, deliverance ministry. That means people that are oppressed and in some situations possessed of the devil. Okay? So the majority of the planet right now is severely oppressed by the devil. And that's a fact. Everybody outside of the grace of God, outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can mark it down. They're under a heavy dealing of the enemy and a heavy control of him. Mark it down that this church is going to be mightily used of God in deliverance ministry. You need to know what deliverance ministry is about. And it's not, you may have already a preconceived notion about what that's about. People falling in the floor and all this kind of stuff. Honestly, folks, it's as simple as it was even that Father Lights. We just simply pray and tell the enemy he's got to go and he's got to go. Yes. And when somebody is bound to that, but there's bondage that is going to be broken. And you're going to see it in the services. Sometimes when people that are oppressed and possessed come into the service, and I'm not trying to take what we've been talking about in another direction. I just feel led to tell you this. Don't be surprised that people cry out. Don't be surprised sometimes that people do some strange things. Because when they're under a dealing of God, sometimes people get angry. Sometimes people get anxious, they get fidgety, they can't be still, and they don't even know why. They don't know why they can't. It's because the Spirit of God is in them, and it is stirring up that demonic thing that has got a hold of us. And we're going to believe God and trust God. So I want you to pray with us simply. The Bible says these come not out but by prayer and fasting.
Yes.
So if it's possible for you to fast a meal between now and Sunday, and do that as a regular practice. You don't have to wait for us to tell you or anything, but as a regular part of your life, to fast a meal or two or a day or whatever, however the Holy Spirit may lead you, we're going to need it in these last days. We need to be prepared. Don't say, we'll do it later. No, these people need deliverance now.
That's right.
Now. And that's going to be a big part of what God is going to do. And I will tell you this, and I've talked to a lot of people in other churches, and they'll say, our church doesn't really want to do that. Our church doesn't really want deliverance ministry. And I'm thinking, well, like it or not, there are people that need it. And I say, Lord Jesus, if you can use us in this way, use us. Let us be used by you in this way. Amen? I want you to be used that way. Sometimes you may, we've talked nothing but the positive response of people as we reach out to them with the love of God. There are some people you're going to reach out to with the love of God, and they're going to snap back at you like a dog. Okay?
that's not them. Don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people react that way because they're so under the control of the devil. So don't be discouraged by that, though. Don't be discouraged. Just look at them and just love them in the name of Jesus. And then do what Robbie did. Turn around and say, Lord Jesus, set them free. That's right. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
We'll see you Sunday.